Whether you're a casual runner or training for something big, proper nutrition can support you in your exercise program. Knowing what to eat before and after, maybe even during for your runs, can help keep your body healthy and recover from injuries faster. Anita Bean joins us now for this week's edition of Food Friday. She's a registered nutritionist, health writer, and internationally published author, and an athlete herself. She specializes in sport and exercise nutrition. Her latest book is The Runner's Cookbook. Anita, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much, Rob. Thank you for having me on your show.
So what are some of the special needs that a runner might have, even a casual runner, as opposed to a non-athlete?
Well, as a runner, really, as soon as you take up running, that means that you've got to start paying a bit more attention to what you're eating, because you're not going to get any faster or fitter if you continue to eat a poorly planned diet. And definitely, it's very important that you eat enough calories, you eat a balanced, varied diet to provide your body with all the nutrients that you need to recover and perform to your full potential. So you will need more carbs, particularly if you're doing long distances and you're doing high-intensity running. But you will definitely need more vitamins, more minerals, a little bit of everything, really. And you know, if you're not getting all those things, if you're eating the wrong foods, then you will increase your risk of injury and illness, and that will prevent your body adapting to your running program.
And I think a lot of people might think, okay, great, I'm running, I'm getting exercise, I'm burning calories, so that means I just get to eat more stuff. Is that something you run across?
Yeah, definitely. You know what? That is the biggest mistake that every runner makes. They, exactly as you said, they think that because they're running, they can eat, it's a license to eat what they want. They can tuck into their donuts, they can tuck into more ice cream and big family-sized pizzas. But, you know, the truth is that if you overeat, you know, if you're misjudging your food intake, then you will get weight gain ultimately, and that will slow you down running. So, you know, you certainly won't get any fitter and faster with your running, and, you know, you'll get the opposite gains from those that you really want. So that's why it really is important that you at least pay a small amount of attention to what you're eating, because that will make a huge difference to your performance.
Is this something that's really only important for, you know, somebody who's going to go out and run a serious, you know, marathon or something? Or is this worth thinking about even for the casual starting runner who's going to just try to get a couple miles in every week?
Definitely. Whether you're a beginner, you know, you're just starting out, as you say, somebody who just enjoys keeping fit, you know, doing a few miles here and there, or if you're a serious runner, you're entering races, or even if you're a runner who's training up for a marathon, nutrition will... Basically, what it does, it will allow you to run to your full potential. So, you know, you might not be destined to win the Boston Marathon or the Chicago Marathon, but it would still allow you to run to your, you know, to your best potential. And it will allow you to increase your stamina faster. It will allow you to get greater gains in your strength. Basically, allow you to perform better, to recover faster. And, you know, if you are running perhaps every day, you know, a lot of runners will want to run every day or at least exercise every day. That recovery period is so important, and that's really where nutrition plays such an important role.
We're talking to Anita Bean. Her new book is The Runner's Cookbook. Anita, let's get into some specifics. I think a lot of people, runners or not, are wondering, should I be eating carbs? Should I eat more carbs, fewer carbs? If I'm reading your book right, Anita, that's only part of the question. A big question, too, is which carbs should I be eating? Is that right?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. I mean, there are kind of two bits to your question. That is, first, you were talking about the amount of carbs, and the second is the type of carbs. Well, when it comes to the amount of carbs, you know, things have kind of changed over the years. There was a time when nutritionists like myself would be saying, yes, it's all high carb and low fat, but things have changed. There's a lot more research has been done over the last couple of years or so, and we now know that actually doing your high-intensity training, so say you're doing your tempo runs, your fast runs, your races, you will benefit by having your carbs, so that, you know, carbs basically will fuel fast running. But if you are doing, you know, long, easy runs, you know, the slow runs, the low-intensity runs, sometimes doing those running on empty, so on low carbs, then that will actually not only cause your body to burn a little bit more fat during your running, but it will also enhance the training adaptations that your muscles make after exercise. It will help to increase the number of mitochondria, for example. These are the powerhouses of your cells, so it's quite beneficial to have a lot of mitochondria if you're a runner. So what we now say to runners is fuel for your workout. You're doing a tough workout, you eat more carbs, you're doing long, steady, easy run, you can cut your carbs. Perhaps, you will eat more protein, you'll have eggs for breakfast, for example, not cereals for breakfast. And then the other part of the question that you asked me, Rob, was about the type of carbs that you're eating. And you are absolutely right, this is so critical. Of course, you don't want to be fueling yourself all the time, with white bread, with sugary drinks and sugary bars and energy bars. It's better that most of the time you're getting the healthy carbs. So we're talking about whole grains. We're talking about legumes like beans and lentils and garbanzo beans and peas. We're also talking about potatoes, sweet potatoes, rice, pasta, and all the different types of pasta you can get now made from different grains. So those kind of carbs should really be, the main source of that. Oh, and bananas as well. Of course, we can't forget bananas. They are a real number one food for runners.
You mentioned that there are energy bars out there. A lot of them have a lot of sugar in them. And I want to get into one of the recipes you shared with us that we have up at WPR.org/Food Friday. We can make our own kind of power bar equivalent. So we've got a recipe from you for cocoa almond energy balls. Can you talk about those?
Yeah, sure. So sports nutrition products can work out quite expensive. And as you say, the ingredients are not necessarily that healthy. But you can make your own version. This is really what I promote. And it saves you money. You know exactly what's in there. The ingredients are healthy. You've got a little bit more fiber, but definitely more vitamins, minerals, all the right nutrients that you need to make you healthier and give you a lot more energy. So these cocoa and almond energy balls, which they're found in my book, of course, the great thing about these, they are made from dates. Some people call them date balls. So they're made, the main ingredient is dates, but you would add an equal quantity of nuts. And the recipe that we were putting out on the website includes ground almonds. But instead of using almonds, you can substitute other nuts. You can put in cashew nuts or macadamia nuts, whichever you prefer. In this recipe, I also add some oatmeal. I add a little bit of almond or peanut butter, the choice is yours. And there's also some cocoa powder, and that helps to create a more chocolate tasting. But then you've kind of got free reign. Some people like to perhaps add a little bit of cinnamon, or you can add some vanilla. That's a favorite of mine. So you blitz the whole thing. You blitz those ingredients in a food processor. It will take perhaps 2 minutes, depends how good your food processor actually is, and then you have a very stiff paste, a bit like patty, a very stiff dough, and you will then take small amounts of mixture, roll it in your hands to make bite-sized balls, and it's wonderfully therapeutic, because when you're doing that, it kind of feels like a game. It feels like you're a child again, and you're playing and doing something, quite inventive and quite creative. And then what runners like to do, they like to coat, you then roll the balls to coat them in perhaps cocoa powder or some desiccated or shredded coconut or maybe some chopped up pistachios. It makes them look great, actually. They almost look like luxury chocolate truffles, but they are quite a lot healthier. But the great thing about these is that they're really portable and really handy, so they're really convenient to take perhaps on a long run. So if you're doing a run for an hour or longer, then instead of having your gels or energy bars, then you can take these with you. You just wrap them up in perhaps a little bit of, in the UK we call it cling film, I don't call it plastic film, or foil, or you kind of wrap them up and then you can put that into your jersey pocket or a belt, take them with you, and then you've got sort of really good energy there, and it's good for you. It's you know, definitely healthier than a lot of the gels that are out there.
We're talking to Anita Bean about her latest book, The Runner's Cookbook. She's a nutritionist and an athlete, and you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you a runner, casual, or really serious about it? Do you have questions about what foods to eat before, after, maybe even during a run? Do you have a go-to thing that you might like to share and recommend? If you have a question about running and exercise and nutrition, give us a call. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Find a few of our guest recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Anita Bean is with us on Food Friday. She's a registered nutritionist, health writer, and the author of The Runner's Cookbook. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about nutrition to fuel your running or other exercise? If you're a runner, casually or in a marathon sort of situation, what is your go-to as you get ready to run? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Want to check out another one of your recipes that you've shared with us, Anita, online at WPR.org/Food Friday, a chickpea and spinach curry. Can you tell us what you like about this one for runners in particular?
Yeah, okay. I like this recipe a lot. In fact, I just made it tonight here in the UK. It's the evening, actually. So I've had my evening meal. We call it dinner here. I don't know. Do you call it dinner or supper in the States?
I don't know that there's like a formal. We argue about which one is which. So either works.
Okay. So you're exactly the same as the UK, which is great. Okay. So I make this a lot. I probably make this curry about once a week, because the best thing about this curry is that it's quick, it's really simple, and as a runner you don't want to be spending all your time in the kitchen. You want to be spending quite a lot of time running and recovering with your feet up. So simple, quick, but very healthy meals are what you really want. So here we go. It's chickpea and spinach curry. You can assemble it really from very simple ingredients, and if you've only got one vegetable in the house, you know, this is the thing to put it in. So the base of pretty much every curry is going to be an onion, some garlic. I always add in a little bit of ginger and a tiny bit of chili as well, actually. I don't like too much chili. But anyway, so the idea is that you fry your onion in a little bit of, we have a light olive oil, but you can use any other sort of not highly flavoured oil. So you fry your onion, you add garlic, some grated fresh ginger, maybe a little bit of chili if you like your food hot. If you are a speedy cook, you can cheat by adding some curry paste. But if you've got, I like to be all sort of set up the spices, so I like to add the individual spices. That's the cumin, coriander, paprika and garam masala. Those are my four main favourites. So it just depends how much time and effort you want to put into it. You've got options. And then you will always add in a tin of chopped tomatoes. So that's kind of a store cupboard ingredient. You will then add in a tin, or two tins actually, chickpeas, which are, I think, do you call them garbanzo beans?
Either. We use both. They're labelled both ways here.
Okay, I didn't know that. I've learned something. Okay, but you can substitute, you know, if you don't have the chickpeas or garbanzos, you can add in any other kind of canned beans or lentils even, actually. So you add that, and then with this recipe, I've suggested that you add in some spinach. So it can be fresh spinach or it can be frozen spinach. So, you know, it can be as lazy. This meal can be as lazy as you like, but it's equally healthy. That's the important thing. There's no difference in the nutritional value. So tonight I added in a couple of big handfuls of fresh spinach that I happen to have in my fridge. But sometimes, you know, I've only got perhaps a cauliflower, so I'll put in cauliflower instead of spinach. Or if you've got perhaps some squash, you know, like butternut squash or something, you just put in that. So whatever vegetable you want to add, but, you know, whatever colours appeal to you. You just let that cook for literally 10 minutes. If you want, you can add in your salt, pepper, lemon juice, and then you've got a meal. But seriously, from start to finish, you can do this in 15 minutes. So I think that's a real win-win for a runner, quite honestly. And I serve it with rice. Sometimes I will add in, instead of rice, you can put in quinoa or some of the kind of grains. Or you could add in a type of bread, maybe an Indian bread. So you've got your carbs, you've got your protein, you've got tons of fiber, you've got a lot of vitamins and minerals. You've got the iron actually from the spinach, you've got iron in the chickpeas. So you've got all the right nutrients that you need to aid your muscle recovery.
I want to bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Doug is with us in Eau Claire. Doug, hi.
Hi there.
What'd you want to ask?
Anita, I'm a citizen bicycle racer. I hope you don't mind my crashing the runner's party here.
No,
but
no.
I think
exactly
most of what you do for runners applies to cyclists, too.
And what did you want to ask, Doug?
My problem is every winter I gain weight, and every spring I'm desperately trying to lose it. At the same time, I'm trying to train up for the cycling race season. So, you know, it seems like I have a choice of losing weight or fueling for training, but it's hard to do both at the same time. What would you suggest?
Okay, so this is actually a really common dilemma that a lot of athletes have, actually. The key, ultimately, is trying not to gain too much weight, but I understand for your competitive season, when you're doing your races, you want to be pretty close to your racing weight, in other words, your optimal weight for racing, because you know, when you're lighter, then you will become a faster cyclist or a faster runner. So the thing to do is obviously to try not to gain too much weight, and then to try to shed any excess weight at the very beginning of your competitive season, because it's very difficult to train hard whilst you're cutting your calories. But the way to cut calories, really, you've got to create a calorie deficit. So that essentially means you're burning more calories than you're consuming. There is no magic formula. There is no one-size-fits-all either. The secret, really, is to find an eating style that suits you as an individual. It doesn't need to be, you know, a diet plan that your mate follows or whatever is trending on social media. Essentially, you can cut calories from whether it's carbs or fat. It doesn't really matter, provided you're in calorie deficit. That's the main thing. You want to keep your protein about the same because you don't want to be losing muscle. You want to satisfy your hunger by consuming a lot of plant foods because they contain more fiber. So, you know, get your veg and your vegetables, your salads, the chickpea curry that I've just described to you, that's got chickpeas in, which is legumes. They're very filling. They're high in fiber. They are pretty low in calories per 100 grams. So it's trying to really make your meals as filling as possible so that they will satisfy your hunger so you're not feeling hungry all the time. Clearly the best ways to cut calories is to look at your snacking habits and, you know, thinking, well, what can you swap out? Is there anything in there? Maybe if you are consuming sugary foods or snacks or something like that, or chips, then try to put in fruit and something a little bit healthier in place of those empty calories. So how does that sound to you? Does that sound like the kind of thing that you are already doing, or...?
Well, those are the kind of things I think I should be doing and occasionally do. But, yeah, I think I got it. More fiber, more protein, cut down on the empty carbs.
Doug.
Absolutely.
Good luck to you, and I hope you get some biking weather here in Wisconsin. It's taking its time here in the state. Thanks so much for that call, Doug. I wanted to follow up, Anita. You mentioned there is a lot of advice out there online or from a friend or a running partner, and not all of it is necessarily legit. How do we assess whether this fad or health claim or miracle food is really what we need?
Okay, so there's so much confusing information on social media and websites, actually. Number one, I would obviously recommend looking in my own book because everything in there is evidence-based. Okay, so you've always got to look at the source of the information that you're reading. I mean, in my book, don't worry, it's not all sort of scientific and everything, but everything's evidence-based. But if you're reading something on a website or you're looking at something on social media, take a look at the source. Who's actually saying it? Are they citing a scientific study somewhere? Or is it just somebody's opinion? And the danger is when it's somebody's opinion and you don't want to take a lot of notice of that. If they're making some extravagant claims or promising a bit too much. And, you know, if they're using the word superfood, well, you should immediately become suspicious. There is no such thing really as a superfood. It's a marketing term because all foods can, you know, they will all supply you with nutritional benefits and health benefits. So you've really just got to look pretty carefully at the source of the information. You know, check out, has it come from a research paper or a university, and be quite skeptical and question the source.
We'll leave it there for now. Anita, thanks a lot for taking the time with us today.
Thank you for having me on the show. That's brilliant. Thank you.
We've been talking to Anita Bean. She's a registered nutritionist and health writer and a runner herself. We've been talking about her latest book. It's called The Runner's Cookbook, More Than 100 Delicious Recipes to Fuel Your Running. You can find three recipes that Anita shared with us. We talked with two of them for the little energy bar things, the chickpea and spinach curry. One we didn't get to, she says runners get to eat dessert too. We've got a baked raspberry cheesecake up there as well. It's probably a sometimes food for runners, I guess. You can find all three of those and more at WPR.org/Food Friday.